Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about how we think is what we become and why this is true. Listen as we discuss the struggle of life as a simple mind game. In this show, we will explore the three-body concept of Kriya Yoga as a menu of options for the determination of outcomes. We have enormous potential with plenty of opportunities when we are educated with the correct information. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience your true potential. So, Swami, why don't you get us started? Can you explain to us about how we think is what we become?
Yeah, that's how it all seems to start, that how we think is what we become. And then what we like to do is understand that we have various options or choices on how we're going to think. And we try and break it down into that you can think with your five-sense lower mind. And then, of course, the next octave of that is where you're still working with the five-sense world mind. And the final and probably the most important is to work with what we call the higher mind or divine mind, because that's the one that's going to give you a completely different return on your effort.
So what we want to know is, how do we know which mind that we're operating out from?
Yeah, the determining factor on this is really what motivates us. And the physics of spirituality is like attracts like. And the only way that we can really determine what mental function am I employing is really by the fruits of our activity. Because you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
So walk us through a day in the life of a normal person who has a job. And you know, sometimes we hope for maybe our coworkers to be, you know, that they act like they like what they're doing and they're fun to be around. But sometimes you don't have the opportunity to pick who you work with, and sometimes these people challenge us. So how do we get past that? What do we do?
Yeah, the main thing here is we have to change how we're thinking and feeling about what it is that we're experiencing. And this is where it really, I think, gets technical. Because coming back to what we were saying, what motivates me, everything is going to be contingent upon my level of consciousness. And whatever it is that you are drawn to is really going to determine your level of consciousness. And we've talked about this in a number of different shows, that and a good way to break it down is to break it down into categories like needs, wants, and purpose. And whatever it is that we are using to validate ourselves will fall under our essential needs. And for those of us that are attracted to things visible and tangible, attracted to particles, then we will be at a level of consciousness which corresponds with your lower mind, your five-sense mind. And you have a belief in two powers. and you're under the law of karma. The next category would be that what you are using to validate yourself would be what's invisible but tangible. So you are attracted to waves. You are attracted to the realm of thought, imagery. And again, that is going to outpicture a belief in two powers, because you are still working with your five sense mind, but it is more in sync with the world mind, the collective consciousness. And then, of course, the final thing is that if you are attracted to what is invisible and intangible, then what will start to report in your mind is going to come from divine mind. You will be attracted to a belief in one power, and you will be under the jurisdiction of the divine law of harmony, which is what I think what we're getting at is where we really want to be. Now, coming back to your question, how do I know what level of consciousness, what degree of awareness am I at? And one of the things that we can look at is if we are experiencing a lot of conflict, then that is a surefired indicator that you have a belief in two powers. And it's an ongoing struggle between good and evil, right and wrong. And for the most part, what we're trying to do is we are living our lives, moving towards what we want, and we're moving away from what we don't want, which is, again, under the law of karma. Now, coming back to your question about, well, how do I deal with employees or for people that are maybe we consider to be negative or difficult or arrogant or anything like that, we have to assume the responsibility that what surrounds us is within us, that there isn't anyone out there that is not mirroring what it is that you are identifying with in your consciousness. And so once you start to get a grasp of how to change how you think and how you feel about things, and that's what I think a big part of this show is all about, this whole thing of the spiritualization of thought. Because when we are working out of the causal spiritual body, when spirit is cause, that is when you have dominion over your reality.
Well, I think that's going to be the challenging part for most of us, is to recognize what you were saying, that what surrounds us is within us. So if we have a coworker that is unfriendly or difficult or whatever, that brings up on screen something for us to look at within ourselves. That's the challenging part, I think, for us to do.
And that's why in Kriya Yoga, you have to have a practice. If you break things down and you're accustomed to examining what is around you on a regular basis, like what we recommend is that you keep a journal. And at the end of the day, you examining things that you have done, maybe even dreams that you have had, and circumstances and events that went on in your life. And at some point, you can actually reflect and you can look at something and say, given the opportunity, what would I do differently in this particular circumstance? Because if you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. If you have a plan that is what I would consider to be calibrated to be spiritual, this whole thing of the one-size-fits-all solution to all of these problems is really when we transcend duality. When we transcend the belief in two powers and we now accept the belief in one power. So we get out of the law of karma, which is what we're putting out is what we get back. I mean, that is what the Old Testament referred to as God, which was cosmic puppeteer that rewarded and punished. But in the New Testament, the concept of God is just pure goodness. It is absolute goodness. It is absolute love. And so this was a belief in one power and the law of harmony. If you can figure out that we have the ability, we have the capacity to rise above karma, and the way that we do that is we have to change how we think. And we have to change our consciousness, because we can't, just like I said earlier, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You can't be attached to fear and limitation and expect to be truth and wholeness. And in the framework of this practice, we have to separate from our attachment to duality, our belief in two powers, and we have to reconnect to this invisible, intangible source.
But so when we're faced with a situation and we don't even like what we're hearing, or you know, you get an estimate for a job and it's much more than what you thought it was, and you get upset. So how do we overcome that, for one? And then number two is, how do we train ourselves not to do that in the first place?
Well, again, in Kriya Yoga, you have a path of action, you have a path of knowledge, and you have a path of devotion. And so a big part of this stuff is your path of knowledge is you must understand how things are working. And the unfortunate thing is that most of us are accustomed to living out from our five-sense mind, the lower mind. What we don't have instruction to do is to negate what is coming in through the five senses and actually rely on something that you can't see, touch, taste, or smell as the cause. And so when we're living our lives from effect, we find that we're somewhat powerless. We've created the victim, because you feel like a victim. When you actually withdraw from the testimony of your senses and you start to live out from the higher mind, you start to live out from a dimension of reality that is changeless, more reliable, more dependable than the changing conditions of the five-sense mind. And so that takes a little bit of an adjustment. There's a learning curve that's involved. You have to figure out that reality is multidimensional. Things are happening on different dimensions. And two of these dimensions are dualistic and they report in our senses. But then there's this other one that there is actually no transmission. There's no signal that comes from the causal spiritual body. It's invisible and intangible. But that is the creative principle.
Okay, well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, our title of the show is Spiritualization of Thought. Is positive thinking the same thing?
Absolutely not. It's not even close. And it's really interesting that you would ask that. That I think a lot of us have really kind of succumbed to that belief that, you know, how we think is what we become, and that we are using our five-sense mind, we're using our ability to form thoughts and how that impacts our reality. But what we're talking about here, this whole thing of spiritualization of thought, really is how to stop thinking and stop having opinions and forming thoughts. But again, that's not something that's possible. What we have to do is we have to move our attention into the heart. We have to move the attention into the center of our being, where the mind is in its rightful position as an avenue of awareness. And then we have to point that on the presence of the Absolute. We have to acknowledge the presence of divine law, the presence of the Absolute, which is not reporting at all in the five-sense mind. And it is working in absolutes, and it's not relative. See, we've talked about this a number of times, that the five-sense mind works on contrast. It works on duality. It picks up all of its information through contrast. That point of departure, when something manifests in half, is what enables our senses to perceive what's before them. They have a frequency, they have a vibration. Spirit, on the other hand, is the absolute. It is whole, it is complete, and it does not report in the lower mind at all. So we actually have to start to cultivate spiritual sense. We have to learn how to read the information that is coming from the higher mind. And nothing that comes from divine law is fragmented or in half. Everything is whole. And so this concept of spiritualization of thought really is when you are able to hold your attention on this dimension of reality that actually is transmitting nothing. And at first, it seems like that's exactly what you're doing, except that this is the nothing out of which everything comes. And this is the absolute silence that Spirit speaks to us with. But as you develop a sensitivity and an awareness for this very subtle message, then of course, it starts to resemble the thunder of silence that Joel Goldsmith talks about. That all of a sudden, what was not reporting at all in consciousness becomes the single most profound thing that has your undivided attention. And it really, it's all about learning how to read unity consciousness. And so this spiritualization of thought is 180 degrees from what most of us are doing. And like you had said, most of us are trying to think positively. And it does have a certain effect on our reality. I don't dispute that. But to think spiritually, to think with divine law as divine law, with divine mind, is very different than to think with a five-sense mind. And one of the major differences is that divine law is backed by principle. It is backed by the creative principle. It has power. It is self-existent. Whereas everything else relies on belief for power. It really relies on kind of like the deflection of divine law from human mind or the human consciousness. And that's the only thing that gives it power. It's not self-existent.
Well, I think we're all familiar with that term, mind over matter. And I want to talk to you about an experience that I've had, and I'm sure all of us have experienced something like this, where I was using my mind to overcome some difficulties. I'm going to use a black belt test that I had experienced a while back. And I was using, you know, mantras to myself, you know, I am strong, I am, you know, I can get through this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then using my mind to overcome some difficulties throughout the test so I could be successful. And like I said, I'm sure we've all experienced something like that. So what is it exactly that we were doing? Obviously, we're not being spiritual using mind over matter. So can you explain that for us?
Yeah, in that type of a situation where we're using human will and personal ambition and of course, like what you had said, positive thinking, affirmations, and all of that kind of stuff, it's just a little bit different. It's very different than when you are under the jurisdiction of divine law, when you are living out from the grace of the divine, that it is more like the meditative state. And the meditative state is where the effortful work of concentration becomes the effortless flow state of meditation. So we do all of this focusing, and we focus on the presence of this force, this different energy field. And then all of a sudden, it starts to live us, that it takes over. And now you're under the divine law of harmony. And it's a very different dynamic because you're not using human will and you're not using mental means. It's almost like you're on automatic. And what happens with that is when you're under the expression of divine law, that what you're doing is effortless. You don't get tired. You don't make mistakes because divine mind is whole. It's perfect. And so it's a very different dynamic that when this whole thing that we're talking about, the spiritualization of thought, we move into a different level of consciousness and we are under the rule of a different law.
I was just thinking in my mind when you were describing that as athletes using that phrase that they were in the zone. Is that something similar to what you were just describing?
Yeah, I think that's a similar thing. The only thing I think is that could be different is what dimension of reality, what energy field am I relying on? It's pretty complicated. If you're still using mind, and like we said, there are aspects of the lower mind. You've got the individualized personal lower mind, but then you also have the world mind, the collective consciousness, which is actually the imitation. It is the shadow of divine mind. And the difference between the two is that one has power and the other one relies on belief. So a lot of us have to believe in what we're doing in order to get any kind of effect at all. Whereas in scripture, they talk about this thing called faith. And faith is a very specific belief because faith is belief, but it's belief in truth. It's belief in the one power. And that's where the distinctions, I think, start to reveal themselves. It's all going to be based on coming back to what we said. What is it that we draw from? What is it that we desire?
So getting back to the title of our show today, can you expand upon the spiritualization of thought?
Yeah, and actually I have a reading here that I'd like to do from Herb Fitch in his work on Revelations, that he says that now we're emptying out, we are purifying ourselves, and every belief, concept, desire, we come empty to the Father. We discover the power of the emptiness, for it is filled by the Father's thought. I am lifted beyond human thought. The Father's thought fills the empty vessel of my mind. The power grows and you are lifted above your beliefs. You are lifted into the awareness of the Christ mind. But only because you come empty, without concept. You have no concept of good, no concept of evil, no concept of matter, no concept of form. You are without thought. The slightest wish on your part is a thought, and then you are asking the Father to fill an old wine bottle, and it won't be done. So when the slate is clean, when there is no writing on your blackboard, when you are capable of entering the silence in a virgin consciousness, then the raiment of your mind will be clothed by the Father's thoughts. They will be pure thoughts. They will be thoughts such as the world does not know. They will be thoughts that can never be sensed by the human mind. And they are the thoughts that say, let there be light, and there is light. They are the thoughts that say, let there be supply, and there is supply. They are the thoughts that say, let there be health, and there is health. They are the thoughts of power, the power to maintain and sustain themselves as the activity of the Holy Ghost. So here, I think he's really explaining kind of what starts to happen as we start to identify with our impersonal spiritual selfhood, that we are now under divine law. We have risen above the conflict. We've risen above the ongoing struggle between good and evil, which is where a lot of us, I think, get stuck. And this whole thing of spiritualization of thought, the spiritualization of consciousness, and what is that going to do for me as I start to raise consciousness above the limits of a belief in two powers?
Okay, great. Well, I think it's about that time. We do have to start closing down our show this morning. So I invite you listeners to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. And when you're there on that homepage, about three quarters of the way down, you're going to see a section called Swami Says Recent Posts. And you're going to see other of our radio shows there listed for your continued learning experiences. Be sure to tune in on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. We do have a Facebook Live episode that we'd like you to listen into. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to work on this spiritualization of thought and use it as a practice for saturating their individual consciousness with the spirit of truth and the acknowledgement of the presence of divine law, which activates it and will pull it into expression. And it's a way of really starting to see how we can affect these desired changes that we were talking about without having to manipulate your outside world, without trying to work with the effect, you really work with the cause. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.